every Monday at 5:30, a chance to talk college football, college sports 24/7 here in the South. He's been joining us through the last couple decades and kind enough to make time. Brent Baird of College Sports Notebook, 1010 XL Radio in Jacksonville as well, First Coast News. And Brent, you know, it's been a busy week, from the Hall of Fame of guys like Peyton Manning, who had such an impact here in the South, to the passing of Bobby Bowden at the age of 91. But first off, welcome to the program. And any Bobby Bowden moment of covering the games that stands out to you first off?
There were many a night in Dulce Campbell where they played a night game and we would be in the locker room afterward. This is when you could go in the locker room. And amazingly, and this was probably well after midnight, he would have more energy than all the media there put together. Frankly, he came to Clay County several times to speak to the Seminole Club of Clay County. Very gracious, just an incredible man. His faith was the single focus of his life and carried him along with his family throughout. Really showed how you can get along with the media and get along with people and be more concerned about them than himself. I really hate to lose him. There were, and I give Matt Hayes credit for this, he writes for Saturday Down South. Matt wrote an article, and I'll be brief about this, and this is really amazing, Chad, but Bobby actually almost went to Marshall, and he almost went to Notre Dame. Now, obviously, people know he almost went to Alabama, but the incredible thing is Bowden turned down the Marshall job, stayed at West Virginia. 2 years later was the plane crash that basically wiped out the West Virginia, the Marshall football team. And then he almost went to LSU, and it came down to Florida State playing LSU and Baton Rouge, and somehow they won, and Bobby Bowden decided to stay home. At FSU, LSU hired Bo Rain. Bo never coached a game for LSU on a recruiting trip. His plane went down in the Atlantic Ocean. So Bobby Bowden escaped not one, but two plane crashes that if he would have been the head coach of Marshall and LSU that he may have been involved with. And he told Matt Hayes that could have been me, but he said, when I tell you I'm blessed, I mean it.
Wow, that is an amazing story, and I didn't know that either. So that's something. I think I'd heard the one with Marshall. I did not know about the LSU story. So I always like to learn things, and you know, obviously that's a story that has sad endings even from outside, but that's crazy to think. And that happens. Nick Saban, actually, did you ever hear about the situation at Kent State where the shootings at Kent State, he was supposed to be in those dorm rooms, but his friend called him a couple minutes earlier to help him move some stuff. And that same dorm room that got shot up in the Kent State shootings is where Nick Saban would have been.
Wow.
At the time. It's
incredible.
It's insane that you just can't take life, you know. And Brent, we've talked about faith and keeping it in that order, faith, family, football, off the air. You know, you've got a daughter, I've got a daughter, like talking about life. And, you know, Drew doesn't know that you saved a rabbit from a rabbit got stuck in his pool drain and he went in there into the pool and saved it. But
wow.
The rabbit whisperer himself. But Brent, life itself is, you know, that was the best part of this week. 14 straight seasons with double-digit wins, 36 straight winning seasons for Bobby Bowden. The records speak for themselves. The difference is, though, when Odell Higgins and all the coaches, they said, we're going to remember Bobby as the person, what he did for our families in the way. He goes, we're not going to remember him for the coach. The person is what is going to keep his legacy bigger than ever.
Well, and there were, I was listening to kind of a celebration of his life on another station yesterday, and they had a lot of people who called in and were given some testimony about him and when they met him and what that was like. And frankly, it was very little of it, if any, was about football. It was meeting him somewhere and him helping out during that time. You're right, the 14 consecutive seasons of being in the top five, 87 through 2000, probably would never be accomplished. My goodness, think about what they would have done if there had been a playoff during that time. Tommy Bowden, his son, made an amusing statement. He said his defense played like the Old Testament, and he talked like the New Testament.
And also, I know Drew's got some questions too. So much to talk about today. But Brent, remember, he also did that with Miami and Florida, who were regular top 10 teams during that time and so many great rivalries. Those were every year on their schedule. So it's not like some of these teams that might get lucky with they don't have to play one of their crosstown rivals. Miami and Florida were already on that every single year. So there wasn't getting away with just an easy schedule slate to go 11-1.
He told people that he would play anybody, anywhere, at any time, and he was able to do that. I don't know how many teams would even do that today, in coaches, because it's so daunting in order for that to happen. And look, people may not realize this, but when he got to FSU, that was after Daryl Mudra, he built that program where it eventually got to in the 90s, and they were thinking about giving up the sport. It was a women's school, and they had thought that it had gotten to the bottom of the barrel. And at that point, Bobby saved so much. And again, what people may not realize too, he basically had not one, but two chances to go into Alabama. And the first time, Alabama did not handle that well, and they were just thought, Bowden did, that Alabama's going to hand him the job. Well, they never offered him the job. The second time, they offered him the job, and he turned it down to stay at FSU.
Yeah, because he was 60 then. And Bill Curry got the first one, yeah.
Well, look, and Chad, you think about this a minute. What in the world would Alabama have been if they would have had Bear Bryant, Bobby Bowden, and Nick Saban? Now, obviously, if Bowden would have been there, Saban may not have come, obviously, but that's something to consider.
Yeah, and you didn't even mention, not to say you should, but even Gene Stallings, who has a national title and is, most people start by saying legend, when you talk about his name. So, it's incredible what he did. And, Drew, I was talking to Drew. Drew's a little bit younger. I try to age him with me here, but like a fine wine that only works for so long. I love that when somebody's like, this is one of my Northern Sonomas, 2007 team. Be like, that's not a fine wine, sir, but that's something I would get. But when it comes down to it, Drew didn't really get to watch a lot of Bobby Bowden at an early age. I'm 36 and, 26, correct now?
Or 25. Okay. 26,
I'm trying to age him as we speak. He didn't get to really watch all those because he was born in the 90s, so he didn't really get to watch all those Bowden games, where I grew up in a Florida household. So for a while I heard Free Shoes University, all this other nonsense. And I realized though that the impact of what Florida and Florida State had in Miami and Florida State gave us not only good rivalries, the best rivalries ever when it comes down to games. I think those Florida State Miami matchups with the wide right, and I was at a number of the games, the Jeremy Shockey catch, Brent, to me, those were the best games that I've ever been to.
it really makes you wonder if Florida State would have had a kicker, what they really would have done. But as you remember, one of the more ironic situations was Bowden actually won a national championship because the opposing kicker missed. So I guess that there was a little bit of how apropos that was during that time, too. But look, he had some tremendous coaches there on his staff. I mean, Mark Richt was on that staff. You had guys like Ronnie Contra, who was a recruiter before people even knew what that was, just about.
Chuck Amato.
Chuck Amato was on that. Was on that staff and was very good. Mickey Andrews, the same. So he had a tremendous staff to go along with the incredible players that he had year in, year out.
Well, I think, too, so for me, obviously, I had to do more research about who Bobby Bowden was, because I saw him a little bit, not after his heyday, if you want to call it that, because he was still solid when I was alive. I just don't remember watching. But from listening to stories and also reading, so there's a story in the Tennessean, and I know from watching the movie We Are Marshall, I remember, you know, Bobby Bowden, that was the same time frame, and obviously we have the story, but there's that scene where Bobby, and this is a true one, that he allowed Marshall to utilize their facilities after that. How many coaches would do that for a rival school? And then there's also this one that the Tennessean mentions where Nick Saban, who's from West Virginia, has a long total story. This story says about Bobby Bowden calling him and offering him a job at his staff after his father passed away, so Nick Saban could have a chance to be closer to his mom. And I mean, and Saban went on to say he didn't know me from anybody, you know. So the fact that he would offer a job just so I could be closer, I feel like one of the things that's great about college sports and college football is that a lot of these coaches are, in a way, father figures for some of these players who are away from their families. And I think Bobby Bowden, from hearing stories and also reading and just knowing and hearing all the different things that people have said over the last few days, you know, you get a grasp for how good of a coach he was, but he was even a better person, which I think, for given him and all that he achieved as a coach, I think is pretty hard to accomplish. But it seemed like he was able to do that given how much he cared about people, whether they played at a rival school or whether they were playing for him.
Tony Barnhart had a story yesterday that he was at a game, and this was, I think, in 04. You guys may remember or not. Bowden had a grandson and another relative that were killed in a car accident.
Yeah, I do.
And after that particular game, Bowden was around with Tony Barnhart, I think maybe four other guys, and Bowden was wearing his the typical hat that he wears. And after he got through with the press conference, he started walking off, took his hat off and signed it, and tossed it to one of the media members who had just had a grandson born, and basically said, be sure to give this to your grandson. So it was a, he did things like that all the time. Now, people may forget that it did not end well at FSU. Let's be honest, he needed to go. I think they were concerned that if he stayed another year, he'd want another year type thing. And Jimbo Fisher was blamed for a lot of that. But in a story out today, Fisher said that up until Bowden's death, he and Bowden were frankly very close. So, and probably didn't get enough credit or too much, I guess, acrimony from people for Bowden being that job ending for him. But there's no doubt, and we'll we'll hear more of this over the next few days and weeks. There's absolutely no telling how many people he helped that we'll never know about.
It's incredible, Brent. And the stories, too. My uncle, who started Sunshine Network, that was the major draw from Dick, you know, working with mm-hmm. the guys of Paul Kennedy and everybody that he hired in their first job. That was Florida State football. It was right there in Tallahassee when he built it on Thomasville Drive. So I played in a lot of the golf tournaments as a kid with all the guys and Charlie Ward and Derek Brooks and all. But the difference was watching Bobby Bowden, you know, he's the one, the legacy. It was an all-girls school, and they were 4-29 all time before he got there, and then literally built the entire thing, stayed there for four decades. So pushing somebody else out, he never left. You know, you saw, even though they can do what they want, it shouldn't hurt their legacy. You've had Nick Saban, Steve Spurrier, all the coaches across the board you could go to that went to the National Football League. He never did. I mean, he coached one team, from that point on, and it was Florida State when he left West Virginia, and it was one that's why it was so tough to push him out. It wasn't just a guy; it was the guy that built and established what Florida State football was. But you're right, though. He was listening to some of that jazz music with his Tommy Bahama hats and a 7-6 record, and you could just tell it was time. And President Thrasher and all the folks. It was a tough situation, because how do you let a legend go when you know the time has passed? And it's not just in sports. Sometimes that happens. A Ma and Pa restaurant where a guy might be too old to cook the pizzas anymore, but how the kids, the grandkids tell them you can't be in the shop that has your name on it. You know, Tony's Pizza, mm-hmm. you're Tony. So it's something that for Bobby, his legacy will always be there. And, you know, Brent, we could talk, I know, the whole show, but, you know, that was my first job. You remember Mark Ryan and I, that was the first time ever. Yep. You were our first interview with Tommy Lasorda, and I was saying Sarah Spain, she was blogging for Chicago. Now she's doing the show after on the national level. But we were over there in 2007. That was my first ever broadcast for college football, covering was Florida State and Wisconsin in the Champ Sports Bowl. And I remember Bobby making jokes. They said, he goes, "Well, would have loved to have been in a national title, but I guess we'll still go to Disney World because it's a couple blocks away." And I'll never forget laughing and just making everybody feel comfortable in the room. And, you know, he's always going to be that kind of guy and looked up. But he's polarizing, no matter – I mean, not polarizing in that way, but just an icon, a legend of what he is. So, Brent, always appreciate the time, and we'll do it again next Monday, my friend.
Good. Take care, guys.